Well, this whole semester we've been talking about expository preaching, but I feel like I would be not doing you justice, or not doing the Bible justice also, by not at least having one session on topical preaching. We're not emphasizing topical preaching here. If I have the privilege to teach you homiletics 2, we'll have a topical preaching message, but I may not have that opportunity, and so I do want you to have some idea, perhaps, and some basic sense in how to do topical preaching. So you'll see on page 154, we have some notes related to topical preaching. Our process is very much the same. We've gone through this process now 3 times in the class on the expository sermons process, preparing expository sermons process. I hope you're getting this kind of down. I hope you could draw this little chart yourself, and you'll follow this method. I think Ramesh Richard has got a really great idea on this, on how to actually put it all together. So I'm grateful to him for that.
What's the 3 development?
What's that?
The 3 development. Explain,
prove, or apply are the 3 developmental questions. And he doesn't talk about that so much, but I'm combining Ramesh Richard's stuff with Haddon Robinson at this point, 3 developmental questions. As we've got Haddon Robinson in his 10 steps around the edge of this whole thing. It's essentially the same process. The other class is learning 10 steps, you're learning 7 steps. So you just have it a little simpler, I think, because that's how it goes here. Now, what is a topical sermon? Now, here's the simple definition of it. A topical sermon is expound a central idea from more than one text of Scripture. They still have a central idea. I'm still going to hold on to this idea that you have one idea. All right? And in this class session, the idea is, let's learn how to preach topical sermons well, because they really have a place in our ministry. All right? In the notes I had in this for this class when I took preaching, my seminary notes said this: a topical exposition is the communication of a biblical concept derived from several different passages in accordance with the author's purpose and the subject complement of each passage presented. Do you know what that means? I'll translate. There's a lot of work. You think an expository sermons are difficult. Imagine doing what you're doing for 2 passages or 3 passages. If you have a topical sermon with 2 points or a topical sermon for 3 points, and you're actually going through the process that you're going through right now with 1 passage, imagine going through that with 3 passages to prepare a biblically accurate topical sermon. I mean, are you getting scared about preaching topical sermons? I hope so. I want you to be scared, because I don't want you to just take the scripture and just make it say whatever you want to say, because it fits into a nice little sermon outline. We need to be preaching the intent of the scripture. The types of sermons are outlined quite well by Grydenius' work, the modern preacher in the ancient text. He has this helpful diagram where he puts the types of sermons in 2 basic ones. It's either biblical or it's non-biblical. Biblical meaning textual or expository, so that you're dealing with a textual unit like a paragraph or a chapter, or you're just dealing with a verse or a clause. It's just the length of the text would be different here. In a topical biblical sermon, that would be the other type of biblical sermon, where you're dealing with more than one text, 2 or 3 texts. If you go up to Bible study downloads, you'll see I have one of my links is topical preaching. And so you can go up and you can see several topical sermons I've preached there, or others may have as well. You find some in the notes as well. And each of them are dealing with more than one text, maybe 2, 3, 4 texts of Scripture. I try not to go more than 4 texts of Scripture. And a non-biblical sermon where you've got a topical sermon, you're not dealing with the text at all. May I encourage you, don't preach those kinds of sermons. Don't preach a sermon that's basically, you know, how to get along with your spouse and you have nothing in the Bible in your sermon. You may as well be a motivational speaker if you're not going to give any biblical content to people. You can be biblically accurate. That doesn't mean, if you're not including the Bible in your sermon, it doesn't mean you're being heretical, but it does mean you're saying basically the same kinds of things that maybe any good marriage counselor could say or any good motivational speaker can say. In other words, let's give people the Word of God, whether in an expository sense of focusing on one passage or focusing on more than one passage. Let's give people the Scripture. That is a role that we have. That is a responsibility that we have to fulfill our calling. So I hope you're getting a passion for doing this. So the idea is, in topical preaching, you're figuring out what your theme is first. Let's say your theme is having a good marriage, or your theme is how to love people, or your theme is how to discover your spiritual gift, something like that. You're not going to really find maybe one passage talking about it. Your role as a father, your role as a mother, being a good daughter. I mean, there's innumerable types of themes. Then you go to different passages and you really should do the exegetical work in those passages and make sure that they are saying what you're saying. And then they contribute to that theme. That's basically the idea here. Yeah, Natalie?
So, just to clarify, the ideal way to do this is to basically do an EO on each passage you're drawing from first.
Yeah, ideally you want to do several exegetical outlines. Because if you don't, then what you're doing is you're imposing on the text something that's not in that text. Now, at the beginning of the course, we talked about some of the dangers of topical preaching way back on page 2. When I was trying to encourage you all to do expository sermons, you more easily can select what you want to say from the text in topical preaching. That's because it takes a more time to do and do an exegesis of each passage that you're trying to use. So there's a greater danger of you saying what you want to say. The preacher designing his own outline isn't necessarily a bad thing. You see quite a few topical sermons within the New Testament itself. Peter preached a topical sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first day of the church. His main idea was Jesus is the Messiah, so accept him. But he drew from Psalm 16 about the Messiah coming back from the dead. He drew from some couple other passages in the Old Testament, but he still had basically a central idea along that line. But he designed his own outline. If you could ask Peter, did you come up with an outline? And I don't know if he did in advance. I think God just spoke through him. But the other key danger I'll point out is a preacher can be accused of speaking to certain individuals. For example, if you all of a sudden decide to speak on why you should be treating your wife with respect, and you draw from several different passages, somebody might be kind of going, "You've been hearing about what's happening in my marriage, you know." So the basic diet for my church is expository preaching. I'm going book by book through Scripture. Dr. Andrew is my co-preacher at Crossroads International Church, and he's going through the book of Mark. He's just going chapter by chapter. He's up to about chapter 7 right now. And, you know, it feeds the people. We're both committed to doing this, but we do occasionally we'll do topical preaching as well. least I do. I'm trying to think if Dr. Andrews actually done one. I don't know if he has, but of course there may be other interpretations. You know, topical messages have the danger of inserting your own views. Expository ones do as well, but just the knowing that it takes some more work to do this, it is easier to kind of put your own perspective in it. But there are advantages to topical preaching. I highlight some of those on page 154. It allows, for example, fuller development than in one text. If you're going to give a theological message, like a systematic message, let's say, for example, the Trinity. I don't think you're going to get the Trinity in any one particular text. I think it's biblical, but good for you to draw from different texts. I'm hoping in the future to do a series on angels. That will be a topical series. So I'm not going to just go from one passage of the Bible. I want my people to understand about angels. I want them to understand about the millennium. I want them to understand about salvation. These are theological concepts that are very helpful for believers to understand. If you do, let's say, biographical character studies, then oftentimes you're going to be drawing from different texts. If you're going to preach on, let's say, David, the life of David, you'd be drawing from 1 Chronicles as well as 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, maybe throwing in a few Psalms in there as well that David wrote. So you're going to, it can be helpful in terms of biographical studies. If you're talking about a procedure, a method of doing something, you could be drawing from different passages. I have one sermon on discerning one spiritual gift, and I draw from many passages on that, in that sermon. These are things to keep in mind from different passages to discern the gift that God has given you. I don't see it in any one passage. I just find a little bit here and a little bit there, and so I put it together all in one sermon. I've preached on abortion. I've preached on divorce, and you're not going to find those all in one passage. So it's good to draw from different passages. If you're, you can also have a fuller development in one text. For example, when you preach Proverbs. I've had students that preach Proverbs in my class before, and that way they'll get two, maybe three Proverbs, let's say on anger or on laziness in industry or on the use of the tongue, etc. These are, you know, you can get different ideas into it by hitting different texts. And it works nicely between series as well. If you're going to do series on two different books, maybe it's good to just put a topical sermon in the middle of them. Shake things up a little bit. Give people a little more variety so you don't sound the same all the time. It gives you a variety. It gives your people a variety with the change in style. Sometimes I'll preach topical sermons, let's say, on Easter. I'll say, here are the implications of the resurrection. I have one sermon like that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what would our lives be like? And here would be three or four passages, you know, that would talk about that. Okay? Those are some of the advantages. But there's some disadvantages as well. Probably the most difficult of them all is eisegesis. You can read into these texts. Instead of taking out of the text exegesis, you're reading into the text eisegesis. Stuff that's not there. A lot of times when people say, wow, that was an interesting sermon. I never saw the verse that way before. I never realized that was there. I'll respond, well, the reason you never heard it before is because it wasn't there. It was inserted into the text, you know. the speaker was just inventing it or pushing it into the text, you know. Well, you could do that in an expository message as well, but it's easier in a topical message. You can model a wrong approach to the Bible, as if the Bible answers all of our questions. That is a disadvantage of topical preaching, as if the Bible answers every topic with a verse. And that isn't how God gave us His Word. He didn't give us a topical arrangement of His will for our lives. He gave us the great stories, the meta-narrative of the whole Scripture. The whole Bible basically is a story, but you've got other parts within the story that give us letters, but those are all units, and that's how He gave it to us. God didn't give us a systematic theology. That doesn't mean He doesn't want us to systematize it. But you don't want to give people the idea that they should approach the Bible like they approach a dictionary. You just kind of go to it whenever you need a particular issue resolved, and you jump right in the middle of it. It's far more than that. And then there's a sense of imbalance as well. With a regular topical preaching, the preacher tends to only preach on his strengths. Okay? I've never heard of a preacher saying, yeah, I'm a topical preacher and I'm always preaching on my weaknesses. Yeah, I just pick my weaknesses and just kind of go through all those. It just doesn't work that way. I think we have too much of ourselves in it, and we don't want to. I'm okay to share my weakness, but I don't want to share my weakness every week with a different topical message on my own weaknesses, you know. Nobody actually, I've never heard of anybody doing that. Perhaps there's one masochistic preacher out there who does such a thing. And so if it's your area of strength, let's say prayer is a real area of strength for you, hopefully it'll be an area of strength for the people. I find that the pastor's area of strength is often the area of strength for the people. The pastor's area of weakness is an area of weakness for the people, because the pastor is speaking on those things and teaching on those things. It's already his or her area of strength, and the people who don't like that area of strength, they go to another church, you know, and they get reinforced in those areas of strength. What we need as preachers is to be balanced in our lives. I know you know this, but I think if you preach in an expository manner, then you're gonna have balance. You're gonna be more balanced. But the topical exposition can be very helpful as well. Okay, better to talk about how you actually do it. The idea is you determine your topic first. Okay, so we're gonna start right at the top with a topic, not a passage. The topic then leads to the various texts, plural. You pick out those various texts and you go, and then you start the 7-step process with those texts. So you say, oh, let's study this text. Let's find what really is the structure of this text. What is the CPT of this text, etc. And you go all the way through the 7-step process on that first text, and then you do the same thing on the second one. So you study the topic and the text, exegeting each text. So when you're structuring, you're getting the exegetical idea of each text. And then you're going to order them. Okay, I think this text, so I should address this one first, and I address this text second. There's a logical progression from the first one to the second one. And let's say you've got 3 texts, and then you go to this 3rd text. Maybe that's more application-oriented. You combine those 3 into a CPT. So you're not combining 3 portions of a passage into the CPT. You're combining 3 texts of Scripture into your CPT. And you write an overall exegetical idea for your sermon. Then you get your purpose from the developmental questions.
Sorry.
Yeah. How would you go about? I'm trying to see if I actually have a good example. I'm looking in the notes here to see if I do have a good example of that. I probably need to put some other ones in here to illustrate that properly, because I'm giving you the principle, but I'm not illustrating it properly. You're basically trying to say, okay, let's say we've got two different texts. What I do is I'll take those two different texts and I'll make a Z1X, Z2Y out of those two texts, because that's going to inform how I'm actually going to talk on that topic. I'm not just going to talk on love, for example. I'm going to say something about love, how the manner in which we can be more loving people, or the results of love within the body of Christ, or something like that. So I would be adding those two exegetical ideas together to get one exegetical idea for the overall.
The assumption is that in whatever text you're studying, the topic you're looking for is already part of the main idea of each individual.
It should be one of the. It should be the key idea in that passage. Which raises the question: can you get a minor idea in the passage? Take, for example, you're going to preach on the Trinity. One of the supports for the Trinity you'll find in the Great Commission, you know, where it says that we are to baptize, Matthew 28:20, we're to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, is the author's intent to teach the Trinity in the Great Commission passage? Was that Jesus' intent when he said to go out there? His intent was for us to make disciples. That's the main verb of Matthew 28:18-20. But one of the minor passages on there is there is a Trinitarian formula for baptizing as part of making disciples. So I would say yes, that there we should follow a Trinitarian formula in baptizing as part of the Great Commission. But I would preach verse 18 in my topical message rather than preaching the whole thing. You did a similar sort of thing when you had your epistle sermons where you had a verse or two verses and you said, but boy, that's part of a bigger group. I would say, yes, it is. But if the Trinity, if you can't find the Trinity in the Great Commission passage, then don't preach it from the Great Commission passage. I mean, in other words, don't insert it in there. It should be there. It should be actually telling you the Trinity. Okay, then you design your purpose for your whole sermon on question four here in preaching topically. You convert it from an exegetical idea to a main idea. So you get your CPS, or central proposition of the sermon. You're going to do the same thing you do in a normal sermon here. Support it with illustrations, applications, get your structure. Maybe you'll have an inductive or a deductive. You'll have a cyclical or a simple, or a combination of the two. You'll practice it, you'll preach it. Probably better for me to give you some examples. Okay, here's some of the examples I've got in the notes. What in the world is God doing? That's a topical sermon that I've preached that you'll see on page 156. This is a missions message. This is a simple inductive message. On page 157, you'll see I'm actually preaching from Genesis to Revelation in 4 points. Point one is Genesis 3:15, God's missionary concern all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The main point I'm trying to bring here is missions is God's highest priority. All right. In other words, I want to go Genesis to Revelation and show that God's always been a missionary sending God. And then with the second passage is to Abraham. There's a missionary purpose with Abraham, Genesis 12. The third one is our commission to reach the world is to reach the world for Christ. I picked Acts 1 here. I could have picked one of the other Great Commission passages, but and then finally, God says the Great Commission will be fulfilled, Revelation 7:9. So I'm literally going from Genesis to Revelation on that first main point to show that missions is God's highest priority. So that is the simple part. Now I'm going to go simple inductive, because my main idea is, since missions is God's number one priority, it should be our highest priority as well. And then I repeat that basically in the conclusion. All right, so that would be one topical sermon of four different passages. The next page, Who Moved the Stone, is a sermon I've preached that really looks at what actually happened, who actually moved that stone for Jesus' body to be removed from the tomb. And you'll see that there's no one particular text, but I'm drawing from different texts. This one, I don't have a text for each point. This is a little bit different. First main point is disciples didn't move the stone. Second point, Jewish leaders didn't move the stone. Third one, Romans didn't move the stone. Guess what? Jesus must have moved the stone. We've eliminated all these other all possibilities. So it must have been Jesus who removed the stone. And this one is more actually, it's actually the finishing up an evangelistic presentation where two speakers have preceded me. Here's another one some of you might be interested in, finding your mate. Subject, how can you find the right marriage partner? Compliment, be the right person as you trust God for a compatible mate. In other words, you want to find the mate? You want to find your mate? Be the mate. Be the mate you want to find. That's the topical idea here. You're not going to find anyone better than you unless you really deceive that person into marrying you. It's so much better, you know. We all want to marry up, right? I married up. But I hope my wife thinks that she married up, too. We'll both deceive each other all these years, you know. So this one is, different passages. 3 points on this sermon. Finding the right person begins with being the right person. Seek God, seek selflessness, be willing to be single. That's what God's plan is for you. So I'm dealing with Proverbs 18, I'm dealing with Philippians 2, dealing with 1 Corinthians 7 in those 3 sub-points. Second main point, don't try to help God find a mate for you. He doesn't need your help. Well, that can be kind of revolutionary for some of us who are trying to help God. And then thirdly, compatibility in calling is a must. So I talk a little bit about calling there, an unequal yoke. So I'm actually getting a fourth passage on there. It's a topical sermon. So my main idea is the issue is not finding the right person, but being the right person as you trust God for a compatible mate. I'm trying to help the listeners change their focus. So many of us have the focus, ooh, I got to find the right person. Don't make that your focus. Make your focus being the right person. And God will lead the right person to you at the right time. Integrity Factor is a sermon on 4 proverbs that all relate to integrity, done by one of our students from years past, Joshua. And this can be a good example of how you can take 4 proverbs on integrity and put them together in a sermon. These are like... some of the results of integrity. Integrity brings security. Integrity brings guidance. Integrity brings favor. Those are wonderful. You know, it makes you want to be a person of integrity. All right? Okay, so what should the listeners bring home from a topical message? What are you actually trying to have them bring home? What's the answer to that? Yeah, that's it. The big idea. You know, you want them to bring home a central biblical principle. Others might disagree and say, oh, there's several different ones, but I think it's good to just keep it simple. There's a good sermon in the book Biblical Sermons. That's a topical sermon by Erwin Lutzer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And sometimes I'll have students read that. Why did God say it? God says we shouldn't. Why should we not commit adultery? Because of the consequences. Why should we not commit adultery? Because there's a compensation that comes from successfully resisting temptation. In other words, that's very wordy. I just say, you get rewarded by not committing adultery. That's how I would say it. So this is a topical message based on thou shalt not commit adultery. You got a verse with five words. You're going to do a whole sermon on this. And he actually does it, and it's really quite good. So repent. Tell your spouse, David got freedom, etc. So you can read the sermon if you want a good example of a topical sermon in the book, Biblical Sermons. Okay, any final questions? Any issues? It's a quick survey of how to do it. Practice it. This is how we learn, right? By practicing these things, and then we'll see the Lord use us in some new ways. All right? All right. God bless you guys.